Our next speaker will be talking about the potential for FG gypsum use in Alabama.
Thank you, Dexter. I'm Charles Mitchell, and I'm the Extension Soil Fertility Specialist in Alabama, and I also have a research appointment. So when this issue about FGD gypsum came up several years ago, and I work with mostly with our farmers, I was pretty much had the opinion that, yes, we've done research with gypsum, so let's move ahead and get it out there on the fields where the farmers can use it and try it and see what the beneficial uses are, actually, on on-farm demonstrations, because I felt pretty comfortable that the research had been done, and we've seen that today, that the research has been done to document the safe use of it, the environmentally safe use, and the agronomic benefits. This research was supported, the research and the on-farm demonstrations that I'll share with you this morning were supported through the EPRI grant with Ohio State University that many of you have heard about. And on one test, we used that protocol. Power South, which is a private electric co-op in South Alabama, they provided the gypsum and also some additional funding. And also we had a lot of help from some of our experiment station superintendents and some of the farmers that actually let us put in these tests on their field. Mr. Brett Mack in Op, Alabama, and Mr. Tim Tucker in Uriah, Alabama. Like I said, extensive research has already demonstrated the value of FGD gypsum on agricultural lands, and so I wanted to just move ahead and do some on-farm tests. Well, this has been precedented. Some of you know Dr. Malcolm Sumner, who's retired with the University of Georgia. He had a huge grant with the Southern Company, which has power plants all over Alabama, Georgia, Florida, and Mississippi. And he had, in the early 80s, early 2000s rather, he started an extensive set of on-farm tests. I don't know whether they were demonstrations or replicated studies, but they had over 50 studies in the Southeast with FGD gypsum. And out of those studies, they claimed that they had a 20 to 30% yield increase at many sites on many different crops. In fact, I don't know whether I actually asked Dr. Sumner, but somewhere I got the impression that about 45 of these 51 sites actually showed a positive yield increase by these crops. It may not have been a significant yield increase, but it was a positive yield increase, and that's the word we're getting. But we wanted to actually, of course, as Dexter's pointed out, power generation is in our part of the region is mostly by coal-fired combustion facilities, and gypsum storage is, if it's not already an issue, it's soon to become an issue. About 3 years ago, I visited one of the larger power generating plants by Alabama Power Company in northwest Alabama in the coal mining regions. And of course, that's where the huge power plant is. And they had built a 20-acre lagoon, about 40 feet deep there that you see. And it was designed to last 20 years. 3 years ago, it had been in operation for 4 years, and it was already half full of gypsum. And now it's 3 years later, and I'm not sure where it is, but it was a real cloudy winter day when I went up there and visited it. But that was that lagoon that was supposed to last 4 years after it was supposed to last 20 years. Something is going to have to be done with that FGD gypsum. So we started to do, because in Alabama, gypsum is not unusual to us. We've been using gypsum since World War II, really, on peanuts. And I estimate that we could use about 240,000 metric tons of gypsum just on our peanut crop alone. And probably the demand for gypsum on peanuts is going to increase because we're moving to more large seeded varieties of peanuts, which tend to have a higher calcium requirement. Before, we use the runner types, which usually a good application of limestone is adequate for most of the smaller seeded peanuts that we grow in Alabama, Georgia, and Florida. But as we go to these larger types, we may see, and farmers are already telling us that they see a need for increased calcium application at pegging time. And you've heard about the research that Dexter and his colleagues have done on Sand Mountain and in other areas, and I'll share with you some of the on-farm and some additional experiment station work that we've done in Alabama. This research that I will share with you, we've done it really at four locations, two on-farm fields and two experiment station sites. The first one I'd like to share with you was done on the Bama Sandy Loam. That happens to be the state soil of Alabama, if any of you are interested. But it was on a rented field that the Alabama Experiment Station has in South Alabama. And we have this field. The reason I did it on this field was because I could not get permission to do it on any of our established research stations. I don't know how Dexter did it, probably because he told them that he was doing work to reduce phosphorus runoff. And I told them that we wanted to put on some exorbitant rates of FGD gypsum to see if it would increase cotton yields. And I got the axe. But they would let me use it on this rented field because this rented field was a site where we had they rented it because it was a high incidence of reniform nematodes, and they were desperate to try anything to see if they could grow cotton on this site, including high rates of FGD gypsum. So that's why I got the site to, and this was this cooperative site with Ohio State and Dexter and others. Then the other site was a Bermuda grass hay field on an Orangeburg sandy loam, also in the coastal plain. And the other site was one we put in 2 years ago on an entirely different soil, actually a Verdic hapudaf in the Black Belt region of Alabama. These are Verdic soils. They do shrink and swell. And when we had the big gypsum symposium in Indianapolis in 2009, I talked to some colleagues there that claimed that they could reduce the shrink swell potential of these soils by applying high rates of FGD gypsum. So, hey, we wanted to try it too, so we put in a test there. This is the research site on the Bama Sandy Loam in South Alabama, and I just see show you the soil analysis there. The pH was quite acid, but we wanted to include lime in this study to see if the lime may be having any the same results as the gypsum, or if there were, so we included a lime variable in the study because of the pH there. And you can see the treatments on the lower right hand side there. We had the check, we had four rates of FGD gypsum and four rates of ag gypsum and a lime FGD gypsum treatment and just a lime treatment. And of course, the materials that we used, you've seen the results of these before. The FGD gypsum was a lot purer product than the agricultural gypsum that we used. We just went to the co-op, bought bag gypsum, just like the farmer would use. To my surprise, the ag gypsum had almost 50% calcium carbonate equivalent. Goodness, we could have used, you know, double the rate there and not had to apply any lime with that material. So it was, but it was lower in mercury than the FGD gypsum, as you would expect. But it had about the same amount of, the FGD gypsum had a higher sulfur rate because, higher sulfur concentration because, of course, it was a pure product. And the results are very easy to summarize. There were no significant difference in any of the treatments over the 2 years that we've collected yield data. This was a one-time, the treatments were applied one-time application. No differences in any of the treatments over the two-year project. Yields were not spectacularly high. In fact, they were rather low by my opinion because this site, as I mentioned, had a high rate of reniform nematodes, but these are what farmers are dealing with out there. So that's basically the result. The FGD gypsum in 2 years had no effect on cotton yields. Surprisingly, after 6 months, we took the first soil samples. There were no differences in soil samples in any of the analysis, including mercury. So I was surprised. I could not even identify any differences in calcium levels in this in the profile of this soil after the after 6 months. So we also took lysimeter data, leaching data, and Dexter has those. But as you would expect, there were no differences in any parameters. So I won't waste the time showing those. The other site was a much different soil. This is that verticapudalf. It's a vein clay. We do have farmers growing cotton on this land. It has a high shrink swell potential, and it was this site where I thought, from the what I heard at the symposium in 2009, that we might put an additional study. So with the help of Dexter and his crew, we put in a real simple study, just FGD gypsum, four rates, 0, 2, 4, and 8 tons per acre, replicated four times. We put this on immediately after planting the cotton crop because that's when we could get in the field and do it. And that was the highest rate there. A previous speaker talked about his light blizzard in North Dakota. This is as close as you're going to come to a light blizzard in Alabama. But I was concerned because it affected the emergence of the cotton there. We had a stand problem where we put on the high rate. That's 8 tons per acre, much higher than anybody would recommend, but we wanted to see if a one-time application would do. After 2 years, no differences in cotton yields whatsoever. In fact, the first year, in 2010, when we measured data, we actually had a significant increase, really, in the 8-ton per acre rate. That highest rate, the 17.92 megagrams per hectare, that's the 8 tons, had a slightly higher yield than the others, a significant at the 10% level, but we did not see that this year. And so we've just done this study 2 years, and Dr. Francisco Arriaga is doing the soil physical analyses to see if the gypsum actually does have any effect on the shrink swell potential of the soil, and we don't think it does. And the final one was an on-farm demonstration on a Bermuda grass hay field. We put a back up because one of the earlier speakers this morning talked about spreading FGD gypsum, but I think every one of us has to learn our own lesson on spreading it. The farmer wanted to use his buggy to spread that gypsum, and you see one of our extension agents riding on the back of that buggy. We did not anticipate him having to do that, but because it bridged so badly, he had to sit back there with a shovel so we could get the treatments applied. And this was just a real simple replicated study, replicated four times in a strip test with four rates of gypsum harvested by hand. And because we had to go to the field each time he cut it, I'm only showing you the yield data from the first harvest in 2009 and 2010. It's a lot of variability across that field there. And there was a lot of variability in the how we spread gypsum, as you saw. So but we did not see any significant difference, just as Dexter did in his study. We did not see any significant differences in Bermuda grass yield from the rates up to 4 tons in that particular study. We did see the first year the gypsum significantly and highly affected potassium uptake, just as you would expect. But by the second year, those rates, this was only a one-time application. We did not see that the second year of the study. So the conclusions basically are that we have not seen any significant yield increases from high rates of FGD gypsum on any of the sites where we have, and we have not been able to measure the soil data yet, but I do want to finish up with one comment, some of the problems that we've seen from land application. The number one problem is, and our farmers are calling me, asking me, where can they get some? And I share with them these types of numbers, but they still want to try it. But there's no consistent and dependable source yet. The power companies are not releasing this because of the uncertainties from EPA about land application. There are high transportation and spreading costs. Ag gypsum can still be purchased for about $70 per ton. And the FGD gypsum is costing pretty close to that, too. The lack of dramatic yield increases has been a concern in me as an extension agent in talking about this. And again, like I said, the fear of environmental regulations and of just the uncertainties out there are preventing more of it being used in Alabama. Thank you.
Do we have any questions? I think I used the word on the phone. Do we have any questions?
Yes, sir. I think, you know, that surprised me. I really wasn't anticipating that. I was expecting to see actually maybe a soil structure improvement. The plant, I think it was just simply the amount we put out, 8 tons. I don't know, but I think it was just a physical, just the amount of gypsum that we put out on top of that ceiling that was already, the plant was already down there about an inch and a half deep. And we put all that gypsum on the surface.
I've seen some pretty decent cotton growth on just up and through gypsum soil in the west.
Pardon me?
I've seen some pretty good cotton growth on just plants and soils that were almost totally gypsum.
Yeah. We have tried putting some gypsum on some of our other sites just as years ago when Dr. Sumner reported how it would affect prevent crusting. We tried it on in row application, and it all depends on how much rain you get, whether or not it's effective or not. And we had a tremendous rainstorm right after this application was applied.
It's so soluble, maybe you lost the impact if you had a huge rain accident.
Possibly. Good comment. Okay, thank you.